Blog Talk Radio.
Wise men and foolish men both must endure dangerous times. And those dangers are sourced from three arenas. Number one, in Christ's parable, he speaks of rain. Number two, in his parable, he talks about floods. And number three, he refers to tornadic wind. Now, I want to make some comparisons. Rain is a naturally occurring cyclical event.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill Radio Show. That was a snippet of our Worldview sermons from Pastor Kerry Gordon of Iowa. It is airing every Sunday, so if you would like to share and really get a new perspective on the Bible and what it means for us today, please come and join us. Go and listen to the podcast on Sundays. It's really incredible. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I am fine. That was set in there. Really, that was a mistake, but it's a good thing, I guess, because it reminded me we need to be talking about it. He has been so gracious to let us air his sermon. So we started this past Sunday was the second sermon. And I'm still new at trying to get aired right without me in the background this past Sunday. I had to fix that. But he really makes us look at what the Bible teaches, you know, with different perspectives. And this past Sunday, he gave a perspective about rain. You know, he was saying there in the Middle East, rain is good. Rain is good. They don't have, you know, when they go shopping, they don't have the refrigerated, atmosphere like we have when we shop here these days. So can you imagine in those days when they talk about rain, you know, that's great. And he was trying to give us a perspective on how the things of this world that seems to be good can also bind us, just like the things that are bad, you know, the things that we take for granted as not just material wealth, but things that make it easy for us. If we are not careful, they too can take us off the focus of Jesus Christ. So it was really a great worldview session, too, that was on staff Sunday. And he is the pastor that ousted the Iowa Supreme Court justices in last year's election to retain them or get rid of them. And because he spoke to many churches and got them to also preaching three Sundays before the election, they won with a 12% margin. And that's what happens when America's pastors remember their true position in this nation, I think, Ms. Barbara.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's a wonderful example of what we need to be doing and how the church can make a difference. And Pastor Kerry Gordon from Iowa is one of those great pastors there in Iowa. I think there are about 300 of them that worked really hard to bring the truth to their congregations. And their congregations took it from there. And they made a huge change that needed to be made in Iowa. But you know what you were saying about the rain and how sometimes the conveniences that we have, although they are neither good or bad in themselves, and they can certainly be used for good, they can also be hindrances to our spirituality. And I was thinking about how different the world looks to us when we're outside in nature, and we're plowing fields and planting seeds and depending upon God to bring the rain to water the seeds. But the many lessons that we learn from being out in nature and growing our own food, the lessons that we learn, they really are life lessons. And You know, we learned that if you plant a corn seed, you're going to harvest corn. Nothing else. You know, whatever you plant, you reap. You know, and there is a time to plant and there is a time to reap. And when it's time to reap, you can't wait. You know, these are really important life lessons. And it's the same, you know, we plant seeds. We plant spiritual seeds and, you know, we want to be soul winners. Well, there is a time to reap, and we better not let that time go by, you know. So there's just so much to learn. And sometimes our conveniences do hinder us in some ways, and they can be a snare to us and an obstacle in our growth.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, a time to for sowing and reaping, and I was just thinking, I got an email, which you've probably gotten it too, and I had heard of this last week, that there's going to be a vote here in Alabama to rescind Common Core standards, the national standard that is going to really brainwash our children before it's all over with, away from God, away from God's ways. And Alabama has a chance. We dropped the ball last November and signed on, but there is a chance. But I was curious, Ms. Barbara, you know, we are also going to be choosing a superintendent, a new superintendent. Now, I'm guessing that the whole entire state board is going to be voting on that superintendent, right, amongst the I think there's seven of them that have applied?
Yes.
Okay, so
they may not have to vote for one of those picked if, you know, there may be a possibility of someone else being selected if for some reason they can't agree on someone or something, you know. But I just hope it's not a retread of Superintendent Joe Morton. You know, I hope it's not going to be just someone who's come up through the teachers union and education union and all of that. You know, more of the same. I hope we don't get more of the same.
Wow. Well, we're gonna get to see how each one of the state board member votes. And I guess we'll be able to gauge it from that, which one of the good things is we have heard that Governor Bentley is not for Common Core standards. So
yes,
that
and that's huge. That's huge,
yeah.
Diana. And that is answer to prayer.
And I'm thinking, so that's one vote I would think that would not vote for a superintendent that would be, like you said, a retread. I'm Dr. Morton. So,
well, I don't know about that. It may be two different things there, but for some reason Governor Bentley is opposed to the Common Core standards, and I am so grateful. And his vote against them will be very influential, I think.
Well, I'm praying it will be, Ms. Barbara, because, you know, it's really shocking to think that there are state board members who have the first charge, a primary charge in their heart, so they've said in their website, like Dr. Elliott, you know, that he is for the right of parents, you know, first and foremost, you know, in order to be able to influence their children's education. That is so prime important. But yet his action, if he chooses to vote to keep Common Core, would say different, right?
Yes, because there's enough information out now regarding Common Core standards and Obama education that to claim ignorance of it is just not genuine. everyone can find out about them. They've had many calls, and so, you know, if they vote for those Common Core standards, that's just their ideal, their ideals and their values. They're voting their ideals and they're voting their values, and that certainly is not parental authority and involvement in children's education.
Well, I think, and they're not the kind of state board members that I think most Alabamians will want to be voting for the next chance they get. So I can, you know, I'm just hearing a lot of parents disgruntled about this, and I just don't see how, which of course I would think that as a person you would think more of what comes with that than you would with a vote. But they are very learned individuals. And for them to stand behind this one that is so against the input of the parents of Alabama, you know, to have their rights taken away, I think there should be a hearing even later on to see what is driving Common Core standards. I think we know what it is, but I think the rest of the country and the state needs to see it in paper.
Well, I think so, too. And, you know, when we had Donna Garner and Uni Smith on as our guests last week, and they discussed Common Core standards, one of the facts that they brought out was that the Common Core standards mandate 85% of the content in the curriculum to be dictated by the dictators in Washington, D.C., by the federal government, by the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, and the bureaucrats, the educational bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. 85% of what every student in America will be taught will be dictated from Washington, D.C. That leaves 15% for the states to have input. Now, if a teacher is mandated to teach, she's going to be teaching that 85%, that he or she will be teaching that 85%, because the children will be tested on that. You know, that's the bulk. That's way over a majority. That's almost the whole shebang. And so teachers are going to be teaching that 85% that the students are going to be tested upon, and therefore to say the state has any input, or the local educational systems have any input, is just not true. Yes, the local board will remain intact. Yes, the state school boards will remain intact, but they won't have any say-so. They won't have any authority. They won't have any power to make any decisions. It's all going to come from the top, from Washington, D.C. And if you like what you see in the Obama administration, if you like what you see, if you like the socialism, if you like the corruption, if you like the homosexual agenda, whether it's through the military or through the school system, if you like whatever in the Obama administration, the climate control people, the environmental wackos and the green czars and all of that, then you're going to like the Common Core standards, because that's what you will get. With the Common Core standards, you will get the Obama standards. So if you like what you see, then, you know, that's what the Common Core standards will be.
And as they pointed out, too, Ms. Barbara, you know, simply put, you know, Dr. Morton, when he says, no, it's not going to get rid of the local school board. Well, what does most parents think local school boards do? They have authority over the curriculum, over what is going to be taught, that the students that they're going to leave in the school's hands, you know, to be taught. And that authority, when it's taken away, well, what do you have left?
Well, they really won't have any authority. They really won't have any power. And they might can sympathize with a parent if a parent is upset and wants something changed, but they won't have the power to change it. You know, maybe they can cry with the parent, you know, but that's about all they'll be able to do is just come alongside, put their arm around the parent, and cry with them because they're not going to have any power to change anything.
And that should be against the law because that is taking away really the law of the land, which is the parental input going through the local school boards. And how far we've come, Ms. Barbara, with, you know, the race to the top enticement for grant money, you know, that you will sign away the future of Alabama's children. That's what they had the audacity to do last year. The state school board had the audacity to do that.
Well, you know, Diana, the reason that we can even be in this situation now is because the rug has already been pulled out from under our families. The only basis, the absolutely only basis for parental rights and parental responsibilities is biblical. That is the foundation for families, for parents, that God gives parents the authority and the responsibility over their children. Now, if you take God out of the picture, as has been done in this country over the years, most rapidly, most recently. But if you take God out of the picture, then on what basis do parents have control over their children? The parents will only have as much control over the children as the government says they do. Because if God is not the foundation, then the government has control, you know. It's God who gives us our rights, but if God is taken out of the equation, we have no rights, and government can do whatever it wants to do. You look in the other countries where socialism and communism are the systems of the governments. The parents have no rights at all over their children. The children belong to the state. The state can mandate what the children learn. The state, in socialist and communist countries and totalitarian countries, can dictate what the health factors of children, their you know, everything about a child, because it is acknowledged that the state owns the children. The children belong to the state. They are workers. They are worker bees. They are human resources for the government, for the state, and so the state can mold them and fashion them into any image that the government wants them to be. Look at Hitler's Germany. Look how, you know, they got control over the children. They began molding their minds and training them up in the way the government wanted them to think. And their allegiance was to the government, not to their parents. The allegiance of the children, you know. So, in other places, you know, this is how it's done. And now it's being done in the United States of America, because no longer is God acknowledged as the source of truth, absolute truth and wisdom, and the foundation for all morality.
You know, Ms. Barbara, it reminds me of a statue that Mr. Wayne had talked about in Germany. You know, they had put the statue in honor what the Germans had done, as you were referring to, the brainwashing, you know, to the point that even children turned in their own parents. And this particular statue was of such a young man. And so for us to really hide our head on the ground and not see the handwriting on the wall with national standards being owned by people with an agenda, as we see already in Washington, what's going on with of all the people that you would put in the Department of Education, you would put somebody who has started a lesbian, LGBT, what is it, lesbian, gay, I can't
Alliance.
Even think of the name of the organization,
yeah.
that
yeah.
he has started. Listen, gay, lesbian,
yeah.
Education, straight network, something like that. But really, you know, who would have the mindset to even allow such a man in the Department of Ed?
Well,
you know,
someone with the same values, someone with
yeah.
the same agenda. That's the only kind of person that would put someone like that. And this GLSEN, this organization that Kevin Jennings founded, is an aggressive, a really aggressive homosexual organization that actively recruits, you know, homosexuals cannot reproduce. So they have to recruit, and they recruit them at younger and younger ages and sexualize little children, and very aggressively. And that's who is in charge of safety in our schools. Well, safety for homosexuals in our schools is how it should read.
Wow, it is just such a difference in the mindset, and it's because we have come away from the acknowledgement of God to the point that everything goes. And as we heard in Hannity talk about on New York City parents, you know, I keep thinking about that. When New York City parents are upset, and we know they're very liberal, the majority of them are, you know, something must be very, very wrong. And indeed it is, because they're rising up, because they're now finding the workbook has got where their children, 11 years old on up, are going to be taught the different kinds of sexual perversion, sexual whatever, and even bestiality. That should not even be said. But you know, to think that they're going to subject little kids to that 11-year-old on up, and to think that we are not going to damage a nation if we allow that to be passed through Common Core or national standards is insane.
Well, you know, we know that what goes in comes out. You know, the input, that goes in is what forms and fashions the growth, whether it be bad or whether it be good. You know, even the pagan philosophers spoke of this about, I remember reading something about Aristotle, a Greek, you know, Greek philosopher and teacher that talked about how very carefully you have to guard the minds and the eyes and the ears of children, that they will be taught what is noble, what is good, what is true, what is almost reading from Philippians, what is lovely, what is of good report, praiseworthy. But these were spoken of, even by the Greek philosophers who were not Christians. And, it is recognized, that children, what they're taught and trained in, becomes a part of them. But something you said a little bit earlier, Diana, reminded me of a quote that goes like this: if God does not exist, anything is permissible. And someone wrote that many years ago. But if God is not acknowledged as existing, then anything is permissible. And it is because that our moral foundation has been ripped out from underneath us, because our morality was based upon God's word, God's truth, and what God has revealed to us in his in the Ten Commandments, and all of our morality is based on that. If it is not based on God's truth, then it is based, it has to be based on something. And if it's not based on God, then it's based on man. And man's ideas are ever-changing, ever-changing. Man's emotions are changing, man's ideas. And, you know, you remember what Pastor Kerry Gordon shared with us last week, that if a child is not trained in God's truth, in the Word of God, in the Bible, if then his conscience is formed not by absolute truth, but by the culture around him, by the culture around him. Well, let's look at the culture around our children. This is what is forming their consciences. And this, what you see on TV, they determine what's right and wrong from what they see on TV, what they hear in the music, what they see on the video games, what they access on the computer, what they see in the classroom and hear in the classroom, and it's not godly. It's not godly, and it's not truth that they're learning. So their consciences are being formed, or lack of conscience, you know, is being formed by the culture around them. So, you know, anything is permissible to so many in our world today because they don't acknowledge the existence of God.
And to Ms. Barbara, I think it lends to a mentality of a dog eat dog. You know, you will have the homosexuals with their rights. You're going to have the Islamists with their rights. Before long, they too are going to be like dog eat dog, devouring each other. It's, you know, they think once they can get the Christians out of the way that, you know, oh, things will get better. They have no clue that all they're doing is unleashing more and more evil when that happens, when the glory of God is diminished because of men's heart that makes such a law that children forget and they vote in, when they grow up, evil laws, that really is going to be a world that, wow, it's not worth living in. I just do not see how people do not see that as going to be a consequence. And it's like Mr. Wayne was also reminding me, you know, we were talking about how some of these people, they value animals over people. And, you know, and he says, well, you know, I think he was saying something about, well, you look at the things that these dogs do, you know, animals do, you know, you look at what things monkey do, you know, they pick up their excrement and they'll throw it at you or whatever, and you know, you don't want to do things like that, but, you know, we've got everything turned upside down where earth is more valued and animals are more valued than babies, you know, than people. And that kind of mentality is really, I guess it's like the occupied Wall Street. It is really, I hate to say it, it is really stupid because in the bottom line, it is like garbage. It is thinking with garbage, you know, garbage in, garbage out. We hear that with computers. Where these children in Occupied Wall Street doesn't even really understand that they're just pawns, you know, and that is not going to be leading to a better future for them.
Well, that's absolutely true. And what the elites call them, those like George Soros and those that are have these evil plans for the world, they call the Wall Street occupiers useful idiots. They are promoting chaos and ugliness, but they're being used by the elites that want to take over the world. And you know, if they only knew that their lives, their liberties, and their properties, the only thing that will protect their lives and their liberties and their properties is that biblical foundation and morality and laws made according to that. You know, one of the things that I so love about the Lord and His Word is that God is no respecter of persons. He does not play favorites in that we are equal at the foot of the cross, and we are equal under the law. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that for true justice, that you cannot look on the outward appearance of man, that judges are not to treat people differently if they're rich or if they're poor, if they're famous or if they are unknown, or, you know, any outward appearance or anything of this world, they're not to, you know, but for true justice, there has to be just the facts and under the law, and everyone is equal under the law. And that's God's standard of justice. Now, that's not man's standard of justice. Man's standard of justice is that justice can be bought. We've seen it when the system breaks down from the Judeo-Christian foundation and we get away from God's standard of justice, then, you know, men are not considered equal. And if you're rich, you get special favors with the judicial system, and if you're famous or, if you know, whatever. And it's very different from God's standard of justice. So I just love that about the Lord, that He is no respecter of persons, and He loves justice, and He wants all people to be treated rightly, fairly, under the law. And if people, I don't know, it seems to me like if they knew that might make a difference in how they, you know, if they have a desire for mankind and for everyone to have opportunity and be treated rightly. That's God's desire, you know.
Well, Ms. Barbara, that was what the Founding Fathers did, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they really wanted the whole world to see really the amazing God that they served, and they wanted to worship Him and praise Him. They wanted to set up schools of learning that really promoted the acknowledgement of that Almighty God, whose ways are perfect and who is worthy to be followed and praised. And we have just turned that so upside down. But I was just asking God for a word, and I'm here looking at Hosea 12. And it says, God invites His people to return to Him. And I think here in America, He's doing just that. There's so many things going on right now. And I think people that were rich, they're having to look, because a lot of them, unfortunately, have lost their money in the stock market. And because also the politicians are so corrupt, no one is safe. Not even rich people sometimes are safe with corrupt politicians. We see that with Common Core standards that is really choking the minds of the children of this nation, or will be choking it. And, you know, there's parents, I think, rich that are getting wind of it. But money, you know, money's not going to take that. Unfortunately, it's not going to win. I think it's going to be God's people listening to God, hearkening unto His voice and His wisdom. And I think it is a time to go back to Him. That's what these times are. But I also think about, Ms. Ball, we were going to talk about the history. But before we get off the air, I want you to please be sure to remind us of God's providence in that Dorchester Heights story. But I wanted you to also, you know, for those that have children or are in that Occupy Wall Street movement, I wish they could hear you and see that God has a plan and a purpose for them, and it is great. Because when His plan is followed so beautifully, we have the most literate citizens in the world back in the days of the foundation of, in the founding fathers, when Alexander de Tocqueville came here not too long after that constitution was drafted, you know, the halls of the churches were ringing with his truth, and the citizens were so enlightened and so literate. What a difference, Ms. Barbara.
That's right. What a difference. And the difference is, you know, the Bible says that in God's light we will see light, we will have understanding. And they were a people of the Bible. They truly were. They were immersed, or they are soaked in it. And, you know, that was the basis for their education. You know, we talked some time ago about the entrance exam for the Ivy League colleges, such as Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Brown and Rutgers, and you know, all of the first 106 colleges founded in this country. The entrance, part of the entrance exam to college, and they went at very young ages as well, but they had to know Latin and Greek as well as English, and because they had to translate the first five chapters of the book of John, the Gospel of John, from Latin to Greek, and that was just part of the entrance exam. So, you know, they were very knowledgeable at younger ages. They were, we didn't have what was called teenage years. You know, there were children, and then they were brought up to bear responsibility and at early ages, and a lot was required of them, and consequently, a lot was achieved. Much was required, much was achieved by our young people. And yes, we were at the top of literacy throughout the world. And the world was really amazed, and they sent many people here, such as Alexis de Tocqueville, to find out what is the genius of America? What in the world is going on there that they have such freedom and opportunity, and they have such knowledge, and what is it? And of course, de Tocqueville, being among many who came to search for the greatness of our country, said that he searched for it in every institution, whether it was the school system or the government or every place, the resources, the vast resources in this country. And at the end of his searching, he concluded, it was not until I entered the churches of America with their pulpits aflame with righteousness, that he found the secret of America's greatness. And he said, if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. But righteousness, the pulpits aflame with righteousness. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. It also says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, we look good compared to maybe our neighbors, compared to another human being. We might look like we're okay and pretty good, but not compared to the righteousness of God. Someone put it like this, in looking out at a field, a green pasture with sheep, the white sheep look very white, you know, and it's not until it begins to snow that the sheep show that they are not really white. That snow is white, but, you know, compared to the other sheep and other things, they're white, but compared to the fresh snow, they're not white at all. So when we compare ourselves to other human beings, maybe we come out looking pretty good, but when we are compared to the righteousness and the holiness of Almighty God, we all show our filthiness, our our dirtiness, our uncleanness, compared to the righteousness of God. And we need to talk about the righteousness of God and how there's nothing we can do to get the righteousness of God. There's no amount of good deeds that we can do to get the righteousness of God. There's no amount of trying to change ourselves and resolving to do better that can we attain to the righteousness of God. There is only one way for that righteousness of God to be imparted to us, every one of us, none excepted, every one of us, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was perfect and holy and righteous. And his sacrifice, his blood sacrifice, if we receive that, if we receive him and his righteousness into our lives, and we die to ourselves, we get rid of ourselves, we get out of the way, and we give our lives and our heart to God and our minds and everything to God, then we can receive the righteousness of Christ. And
Barbara, that's really what the founders did, I think. You know, I mean, it took a step of a leap of faith for them to start and form a constitution, really to even fight Great Britain. And, you know, it was really because they believed in the scriptures, and they didn't just say it. They really lived it. They fought and lived it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, these young people that are at Occupy Wall Street, you know, it is really the enemy that has so, enslaved their minds to think that this is the best they can do. It's almost like they're a bunch of kids wanting to do something good, they think, in their eyes, you know. They want to be a part of something great, but the only problem is their focus is so skewed. They're really blind. Yeah, they're really blind to the truth, and they're going in the wrong direction. It's like we always say, if you don't understand your past and where you've been, how do you know where you're going to go to? You know, you can't. If you know from your direction where you've been, you have no idea. And that's what these children are, because of the crime that has been committed to them from years of indoctrination, when they have been built up to think they're nothing but, you know, have evolved, you know, and that they're the product of an accident, and that they have no purpose, really, unless they can make their own purpose, which is whatever feels good at the moment. So I just, you know, they need to see the great foundation that was laid in this nation by others who sacrificed and rowed the ship, the Mayflower, and you know, and really just paved the way for them so they could be so blessed. My goodness, they don't even realize, you know, whose shoulders they're standing on.
That's right. They have not been taught our true history. That's been kept from them. And, you know, Diana, I think back, everything I've learned about history, I've learned in the past. I didn't learn it in formal education. And I'm 64 years old. I was not taught this in school. I was not taught our true history in school. Even back then, it had begun to be erased from the history books. And so we have, a century, I would say a century of history being erased and Americans not being taught their true history. And it is astounding. It is astounding when you begin to uncover it. And we have the best time And we just rejoice when we see what God has done throughout history. It's story after story. It's miracle after miracle. It is amazing. And, you know, there's a scripture, there's a lot of scriptures, actually, about the Lord saying, remember the wonders of old. Remember the works of the Lord. Remember, remember, remember. And those works and the wonders of the Lord, they continue to go on. They continue to go on. And our country has been filled with the wonders of God and what He has done and how He has blessed. And, Diana, you and I just, we just enjoy learning about them so much. We want everybody to learn about them.
Oh, Miss Barbara, and I'm just personally so blessed to have you and Mr. Wayne. But you know, if these children at Occupy Wall Street could just hear the truth, and of course, this is really the enemy wanting to steal their future, wanting to steal the best for them by letting them be so mired, and you know, and a lot of them are really filled with hate for their own country. Filled with rage at all the injustices that this nation has done. And to me, you know, it's so sad because it is their heritage. It is a treasure that God has gifted them, and they can't even see it. But we're praying for a miracle, and I think we're praying for what's going to happen beginning in Montgomery, this coming Thursday. I think whatever happens Thursday, it's really just the start. Whether it passes or not, it's really just the start, because there has not been this national conversation. There has not been a statewide conversation on what is being taught our children in their schools. Yet that is the most crucial thing. And I think about the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. You know, God set them apart, and their history has been regurgitated and shared from one generation to another. Americans have been given the same incredible history. No, they're not exactly line by line the same, but it's been an incredible history, and really it's a history of the world. It's not just one country. It's all the different countries of the world represented, you know, in the United States of America, so that when someone who is from Mexico comes over here, they don't need to really be angry at the fact that we want people to learn about America's history versus their Mexican history, because really it helps the whole world when we learn how God formed it, that man, you know, from one place or another can learn to love one another. Under the grace of God, it is possible. You know, there should not be this anger and this jealousy over this multiculturalism or whatever not being taught. Really, without the United States of America being present, without the grace of God, none of those other countries would be as blessed as they are, period.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I think we need to get over that.
That's right. You know, what has been done here in America has indeed blessed the entire world with the standard of living and also as an example of the freedom. You know, Diana, I have not mentioned this before, but when Christopher Columbus set sail, there was another ship that set sail as well. And unfortunately, it was a ship that was filled with Jewish people, and they were being exiled from Spain. And it was a terrible policy, but they were exiled. And so at the very same time, those two ships were pulling out, you know, and setting sail. And what's so interesting to me, though, is that the discovery that Christopher Columbus made in discovering the New World to Europeans, and opening the door for Christianity to be brought to this New World, and for the civilization to be based on Christianity, that provided the freedom for the Jewish people, and so many Jewish people recognize and proclaim that the freedom they've never had anywhere in the world outside of Israel, where they have been welcomed and have had the freedom to prosper and in every way, as in the United States of America. And it's kind of ironic, those two ships setting sail at the same time, and the one Columbus, the destination reached by Columbus, was the place for the others to find the freedom that they needed in later years. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it is. And really, I think that's a symbol, really, of the freedom for not just the Jewish nation, but really for Mexicans, for others that are in bondage throughout the world. I think that's what America is a symbol for. You know, there is, unfortunately, you know, we have high expectations here in America of how to treat one another. But if you live in some of these other countries, those expectations are not going to be the same. You know,
Diana,
we talked about that in church. Uh-huh, Ms. Barbara?
While you're talking about Mexico, I think it's really important to insert this at this time, because many Mexicans, many Americans do not realize that when Texas fought for her independence from Mexico, you remember the Alamo, all right, and Sam Houston, Davy Crockett. But when Texas fought for her independence from Mexico, they drafted a Declaration of Independence that was very similar to the one that the United States drafted in 1776. And many Mexicans in Texas fought for Texas to be free from Mexico's tyranny. You know, it was not just Anglos that fought Mexicans in that war. There were Mexicans that wanted freedom from the tyranny of Santa Anna, of the corruption in Mexico, and they won independence too in Texas.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Well, I think that's what America is really, Ms. Barbara. It's a beacon of hope, and I think God wanted it so that way. And really, he answered humble men's prayers. We were the ones asking, you know, making that covenant, and that we will shine like a city on a hill. And we want to continue that. And listeners, we want you to please pray with us. We have an upcoming election. We also have tomorrow is very important for the personhood amendment. Ms. Barbara, you know that in Mississippi. And
yeah.
I think when Mississippi votes that in, wow, I can just imagine bells ringing in heaven. You know, opening that is. Wow. And so I just think really there's so many good things that people are bringing to the forefront now. And I think there is a raising up of God's standards, isn't it, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, there is. There really is an awakening. And which has been prayed for people not only in this country but all over the world. Christians have been praying for a great awakening in this land and throughout the world, and a great revival in the churches among Christians to be revived and revitalized and renewed and restored and revved up and pursuing God's will with fervor and passion and purpose. And so prayers are being answered. God is faithful. God is so faithful.
And that just reminds me, Ms. Barbara, as we start to close here, I'm going to just ask you, if you don't mind, to close us in prayer for all these upcoming votes and election. And really, you reminded me of that friend of ours in Holland that was hungering. She is being used by God. And
yeah.
God has not forgotten, you know, the Christians the world over. And
that's
I think everything's coming to a head. He is drawing them closer to him. So we want to lift Holland and all these nations to God also.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and turn it to you, Ms. Barbara, so that hopefully the listeners will hear and come in agreement with you in prayer.
Thank you, Father. Yes, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh God. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you light our fires, Lord, and that we burn, Father, giving light and warmth, illuminating the darkness, Father. The world is so dark, but, Father, you are light, oh God, and in your light we see light and we have understanding. Father, we pray, Father, for that great awakening, Father. We join with so many of your people, Father, throughout the world. We just join with them, Lord, in agreeing as touching for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to envelop the world, Father, and light the darkness, Father, that you would have a great awakening, Father, and a great revival in this land and throughout the world, Father. We thank you, Lord, that is your desire. We just agree with you, oh God. We agree with you. Father, we pray for the elections and the decisions that are going to be made. Father, we pray for our state school board, our Alabama state school board, to make the right decision, Father, to vote to rescind those Common Core standards, to right the wrong, Father, that was made. And, Father, we just pray that. We pray in faith, believing you, Father. Father, we will not be like those who have a form of godliness but deny your power. Oh, no, God, you are all-powerful, and we acknowledge your power, oh, God. And we pray that you would work in the hearts and the minds of our state school board to make that right decision, oh, God, to rescind that vote to abandon those Common Core standards. Father, we pray for Mississippi. We pray for the elections, the personhood amendment, Father, and Lord, that will pass. And Father, that Mississippi will light the way throughout this country, Father, for other states to follow their example and to pass personhood amendments, recognizing the sanctity of human life, Father, each human life created by you in your image and likeness, oh God. We pray, Father, wherever there is an election, an upcoming election, Father, we pray that righteousness will prevail and that those people will be elected, Father, that will rule in the fear of God and according to your righteous standards. We pray, Father, that we would seek you and your righteousness throughout this country and throughout the world. Father, you are the answer. You have the answer. You are the answer. And we pray, Father, for a turning to you, Lord, a turning to you, our hearts, our minds, our lives. And, Father, we pray this in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father, that you would protect and protect your people, your chosen people. And, Father, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge. And, Father, that they would seek your wisdom. And we pray, Father, for the leaders to be protected, most especially Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been, Father, a beacon of light and truth and strength, Father. So strengthen them, O God. We pray, Father, for our troops, wherever they are, but particularly, Lord, in those battle areas, for your protection, and Father, that you would, be with them, Father, very present with them. leading and guiding them and protecting them, oh God, and their families as well. We love you so much, Father, and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your heart of mercy and kindness and tenderness. Tenderness, Father, toward all. Oh, Father, we pray that everyone listening, Father, will know your tenderness and your kindness and your love and feel your arms around them, Father. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And we just ask the listeners to please share the broadcast with their friends and family throughout the country and really the world. Come and join with us. Come and learn with us. Go to www.cityonahill.tv. And Ms. Barbara, if I may ask this question, for those in Occupy Wall Street, if you could give them one or two books that would help them see the truth about their heritage, what could you think of would be worthy of that?
Immediately, I would recommend Peter Marshall and David Manuel's book, The Light and the Glory. The Light and the Glory. That's the one that I would start with, because they chronicle miracle after miracle, and it's like a storybook. It's not like a dry history textbook. I wish there weren't such things. You know, we want to read about the lives of those that have gone before us. That's history. That's real history and what God has done in their lives. So that's the one to start with, and then go on to their next one, From Sea to Shining Sea, to continue this learning about this blessed nation. And so, you know, so much of what Wayne and I share, we have learned from them, and we've learned from William Federer, who wrote America's God and Country, and he does the American Minute, a daily email that you can subscribe to. Go to American Minute. Catherine Marshall, Catherine Marshall, Peter Marshall's mother also, but also Dr. Catherine Millard and her books about great American statesmen, and just book after book, you know, and of course our beloved David Barton, who opens the show so many times talking about study our history, learn our history. Well, wallbuilders.com has books with the truth of our American history in them. So Wall Builders and with David Barton, and oh my, there are many more that I haven't mentioned, but these are among the very best that I have just learned so much from, and I'm so grateful for them.
Well, wouldn't it be incredible if the parents would give their children a gift their Christmas of truth, their true heritage, so they'll know that they are valued. My goodness, yeah. They are very valuable in the sight of God and the family, side of family. And there is a future for them that is good. God is so good. I think everybody in America is blessed.
That's right. You know? Just the fact that we're in America, we are blessed.
Yeah, beyond measure. Oh my goodness, what a blessing! So let's take our heritage. Let's take ownership of what has been given us. Like you say, Ms. Barbara, we have a will that was given to us, and they want it to bless their posterity.
That's right.
The Constitution is a blessing. Okay, well. Just food for thought. Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And tomorrow, I guess you're traveling tomorrow. Are you going to be traveling to Montgomery tomorrow, perhaps?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I don't know yet. That will be in the morning, though. Anyone that can go, the press conference is at the Alabama State House in the Star Wars Room on the 8th floor of the State House, and that's at 10 o'clock, Montgomery, Alabama, press conference with Eagle Forum, and our friend Dr. Sandra Strotsky will be there, and others as well. So, attend that if you can, listeners.
Wow. Well, I hope we get an interview on that with someone tomorrow.
We're so blessed
to have that. Well, God bless you, Ms. Barbara, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow then. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. May the Lord shine his face upon you and join us again on City on a Hill. Goodbye.